Oh, First Peter.
He broke the machine.
I think it was so. I think it's the same thing happened to the machine that happened to the compasses.
Did it work again?
No, I think I broke the machine.
I wouldn't bet against that.
It's a good thing he isn't writing a book like Harry is, because that was really scary.
Oh, they'll be.
Hmm?
I'll interview a bunch of
them. I've been asked by a publisher, George Williamson at Broadman now, that we write a book about the feast days in relationship to the life of Christ. We've got 99% of it. Anyway, I told him I would think about it.
Cool.
Huh?
Tell Johnny to work on that. He's very
funny. Yeah. All right. 1 Peter chapter 4. No, I mean chapter 3.
Well, I thought we were further along.
No, don't start. In verse 15 is where we spent most of the day the last time we met, whenever that was. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And we contrasted that with what modern evangelism is. It's not done with meekness and fear, that's for certain, because it's done with an attitude of superiority. And it's just something that's just intrinsically slimy about some of these evangelistic campaigns. And it's one of the reasons that the fundamentalists slash evangelicals are looked on so terribly in the public opinion. Because they only see a picture of self-righteousness. So anyway, we've spent a lot of time on that. Having a good conscience. Now, what is a good conscience? According to Hebrews, a conscience that has been purged from dead works is the only good conscience. A conscience that's empty. Are any of you bothered by your conscience? Mm-hmm. What does a conscience tell you?
Something I should do that I haven't done, or something that I shouldn't have done that I didn't.
Okay, so why are you still listening to it? Let me ask you this. Why do you think that thing is still there? Why is the conscience still there? Is there anybody, well, before I pick on Harry, is anybody else?
Oh, I think probably the answer to that is that there are still things that I think are good that I hold on to.
That's right.
Which just opens the door for.
Let's go to Hebrews 9.
It didn't bother me as much.
I'm not doing it now.
Yeah,
Hebrews 9. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge or empty your conscience from its dead works in order to serve the living God? Now, I keep telling you over and over and over again that you, your conscience, is simply another word for the Antichrist. And as long as you feed the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, by agreeing with it, that something, that this is good or this is bad, then you're not walking in total dependence on the Father. You're walking in total dependence on the Antichrist. And the reason that your conscience still is extant is because you love it. It gives you feelings of superiority. It gives you feelings of, it feeds you. Your conscience becomes your meat. It gives you sustenance and satisfaction, even the negative aspects of it, because it proves, I mean, you understand, if you do something wrong and then your conscience condemns you, then you don't need the blood of Christ. And so that, in effect, also feeds the Antichrist. And it's critical that you stop it, that you go to war with your conscience. It's not good enough to say, well, I don't do it as much as I used to. Your conscience is your prison. Do you understand? We are called to become as this darling infant, except you be converted and become as this little child, this darling infant, this technon, without self-awareness, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. The purpose of the conscience is to emphasize self-awareness.
It's like the mirror that goes everywhere with you.
Now, if you pay attention to the your conscience telling you things that you should do, then you've moved out of the moment of dependence from God. If you feel condemned by your conscience, then you've negated the blood of Christ. This can't be put up with anymore. You can't just slough it off. Anybody have any response? Anybody want to keep their conscience? Are you that stupid?
I was thinking of people with obsessive compulsive disorder. Their conscience tells them
everything.
You know, all kinds of stuff.
That's what it is.
And it's like, that's the conscience just kind of gone wild, but it reveals where it's coming from. And I guess it's like the conviction of the Holy Spirit because of no faith comes from some other totally different place, and the response to that is to purge the conscience.
The conviction of the Holy Spirit comes, I believe, from the pineal body. That's where the Holy Spirit communicates. Well, that's another story. We're not going there. All right, let's go to Romans. Let's just go a little bit, take a right and go to Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. Now the picture in the Old Testament of the daily sin offerings, the daily trespass offerings, the daily cleansings, with the waters of purification, with the ashes of the red heifer, etc., etc., are a picture of life without Christ. Now, some people, they still have daily offerings. Daily, not daily, 100 times a day. You play some game with your mind so that you can live with yourself. Does that communicate? And it's a way to maintain your own self-deification. That's all it is. Doesn't have anything to do with God. Doesn't have anything to do with feeling bad or feeling good. It's a way that you maintain your own deity. because you're sitting around. By definition, your conscience has to be created from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It can come from nowhere else. Now, that has nothing to do with the resurrected Christ. Now, the problem is that what feeds the conscience, besides its initial there-ness because of the fall, what then feeds the conscience is all the idiosyncrasies and value systems that you learn before you reach the age of reason. They became epinephrine in your conscience. And each one of them is an idol, a graven image on the wall of your temple for which you are worshiping instead of God. It's the antithesis of Christianity. The antithesis. All right. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience or awareness of sins. Incredible statement. But in those sacrifices, there is remembrance made of sins every year, every day, every minute. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats or the machinations of your conscience should take away sin. That's again another reason why you're on a spiritual bungee cord. Why you're an observer instead of a doer. Why you can't be. This thing about being an observer has a whole lot of components to it. It's mostly come, the biggest cause, I believe, of being an observer instead of a doer is fear. It's cowardice. And it probably happened, you know, who knows how it happened, you play psychobabble, but I know that the things that would lead to it are, you know, offerings that you made as a child that weren't accepted, or you raised your hand in class and gave a wrong answer. Or you tried to talk to a girl and she rejected you. You know, the list is endless about things that caused you to return back inwardly and just watch instead of be. Well, it's time for all that to be purged from your life. That you become explosive. That you prophesy. You say what's there. Above all things, my brethren, I would that you prophesy. That you say what's there at all times. Watching. You know, that's why I told Michael the other day that he was sitting all he does is sit back in judgment because he doesn't engage. Is that touching any of you? What? I hear the wheels turning here.
Well, just the observer returns to their conscience because it's the only one they can trust.
Because there's no faith. Yeah. But it's time, I mean, that you've got to see the evil of that. It's pure evil.
Well, I was thinking it's not the word, it's my word. My word that lives in me.
Plus, it produces the ultimate form of hypocrisy. Everybody understand? Everybody ready to get rid of it? Anybody that doesn't understand me?
No. I don't know why I would want to trust my conscience because
it's a really bad conscience.
The evidence of it is that it is filthy.
Oh, all it does is try to get you in trouble.
Yeah. But on the flip side of that, it is going to say it's getting you out of trouble. That's not true.
All right, let's go back to 1 Peter. Verse 16, having a good conscience. A good conscience is a purged conscience, as we just saw. And if there is something that there is any kind of guilt about, then it's confessed so that you're freed. And, but it's the blood of Christ that frees you, not your feeling bad or badly. I just had a run through of all the people that I've known since I've been a believer. How many of them, they're their own silver. I mean, they want to feel bad because it proves that they've paid for their sin. God. And they think it's religious to do it. It's a right thing. They might as well have barbed wire and be beating themselves like those idiots in the Middle East do, causing their backs to bleed, showing everybody how spiritual they are. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers. Well, there's now we're getting appropriate here. We're about to be speaking really evil of.
I can't wait for 9 o'clock Sunday night.
Yeah. Having good conscience, whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good manner of life in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And we went over that earlier. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin. Once! He suffered for your sin. Don't insult God by you suffering again for it. No matter how right that may seem. Oh, I'm just so penitent. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive or quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, where are these spirits in prison? To our Catholic friends, to our mackerel snappers, where are these spirits in prison? This is where the concept of purgatory came from. Actually, it came from Greek mythology, but they, by misunderstanding what's being said here, it emphasized purgatory. And then you had to have, that's where your relatives and loved ones were locked in purgatory, and then you had to have indulgences. You had to buy indulgences for them to get them out of purgatory. They're still doing that, by the way. Did you know that they're still doing that in Catholic Church? Huh?
Yes, I know.
Did you buy any indulgences?
We didn't buy them. It was acts of
Oh, niceness.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, sometimes you could buy them, but they didn't buy them in the sense that
they do now. They're buying them now. I just read a story about it.
Really? I mean, you just walk up and pay $50 to the priest and you let your grandfather out. That
yeah,
kind of deal.
Yeah. Except it's more than $50.
Depends how bad. Do they have a band that precedes them when they?
No, that wasn't like Tetzler.
Take PayPal.
All right.
They take PayPal. Oh Lord! On eBay, you can buy your soul back on eBay.
By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein a few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. Okay, we're going to spend a minute here on this. By he waited and preached to the souls in prison. Okay, go over to chapter 4. Verse 5. We'll read ahead, but we're doing it together, so it's okay.
All right.
Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick or the living and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. This is why it is absolutely no business of ours who's saved and who's not saved. This is why it is such a travesty for evangelical fundamentalists to go around and say that these people are going to hell and these people are going to heaven. Because it's none of our business, because Christ has gone and preached to those that are dead that they might be judged. What does it say? Read this. That they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Can you imagine the gall, the effrontery to God, to have someone say to another person that you're going to hell if you don't believe? Can you, I mean, even a pagan, it makes them sick to their stomach. But yet it's done every single day. I remember that. God, isn't it? Okay, we got sued one of several times. And so we're in depositions, etc. And J.C. Joyce, he said it, I think he said it in open court, but he said it in depositions. He says, Mr. Anthony, do you have any idea of the thousands and thousands of souls that are now in hell crying out in torment because you have hindered Brother Tilton from doing his job as an evangelist?
Because we so occupied his mind as to distract him.
Right. Can you imagine some idiot saying that? I mean, I don't have to imagine it. I heard him. Don't they ever read the Bible? What do they say? What do they say about this? What do evangelicals say about that? You're come from that ilk. I'm looking right at you in between the eyes. You're a Baptist kind of guy.
Well, there's several different interpretations.
One of them I heard was, it doesn't really say, this is what it says, according to the one Baptist I read a commentary about. It says this. It says, for this cause was the gospel preached to them, also to them that are dead, parentheses, while they were living. Didn't say that. When John says something like that, well, there's several interpretations, it means he doesn't know.
That's right.
Okay. I was about to say, I know where to look them all up.
He's a good Baptist.
I know. Can you see the beauty of this? Can you see the majesty of the mystery of God in this, instead of some piddling little crap that man has made up? I don't feel like talking anymore. Be at rest. That's all we have to do. Be at peace. Because he finished the course. What? Did you understand that, what I just said? Did you ever hear that before? You hear it in Catholic Church?
Yes.
Good. Anybody else? Take it, large person.